So today we're going to start our new series called Wide Awake. Wide Awake. And how many of you feel like you need to be awakened up a little bit this morning? Woo! Too many late nights, too many sugar cookies, too many, I don't know, too many Buckeyes in my house, too many of those things, and it just affects your energy, doesn't it? So I thought Wide Awake was the perfect series for the month of January, also when it starts getting cold and dark, and you just tend to get a little bit lulled. But today we're going to start the series out with Wide Awake to the Voice of God. Before we get started, how many of you have resolutions this year you want to try? Yeah, I don't think so. But this year, as I was contemplating this month's theme, Wide Awake, I thought, how sad is it that we start so many new years with these resolutions to change things that really, in the when it comes down to it, they don't matter at all. In 100 years, I had a professor in college, she would always say, if you were upset about something, she would say, well, dear, 100 years from now, it won't matter. And I'm like, it matters now, you know. It would make me so angry when she would tell me that. And now I hear that voice in my head, her telling me that, and I ask myself, what am I doing today that's going to matter in 100 years? And what of our resolutions, which of our resolutions are going to matter in 100 years. And so today I want to talk about Wide Awake to the Voice of God. Wide awake to the voice of God, because I think sometimes he can speak and we don't hear him because our lives are so filled with everything else that won't matter in 100 years that we don't even hear him when he's speaking. So I want us as a congregation, as a group of people, I want us to be wide awake to the voice of God. The first scripture I want to look at, if you want to follow along, there's a note page in your program that has some blanks you can fill in. The first scripture I want to look at today comes from Hebrews 1, 1 through 3, and it says this: Long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son. God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance, and through the Son, he created the universe. The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God, and he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. The writer of Hebrews here is saying, look, long ago God spoke to us in many different ways and in many different expressions, different ways, different words, through different people, different means. He spoke to us in a lot of different ways, but now, here it is. He's spoken to us through his Son. And I love that it says the Son, in speaking to us about God, the Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God, and he sustains everything by his mighty power. I love that. Today I want to look at three different instances in the New Testament, after the time of Christ, of when God spoke to someone. And I want us to be very careful, because sometimes when we read this, we automatically assume, if we haven't been talked to in the way that we're going to talk about today, that God must not be speaking to me. And I want to get right up front and say that's probably not true. Because the writer of Hebrews said, look, God speaks many different ways, but don't forget that right now he's speaking to us through his Son. And how do we know about his Son? Through the Bible. So anytime you want to hear God speak, you just open your Bible and you can hear him speak. This is the living word. That's what it's called. The living word. It's not a dead book. It's a living book. And so when you open it up, you get to read God's words to us, God's voice to us. But in Acts 10, 1 through 7, God speaks to a Roman officer. Interesting. This Roman officer, that's Roman numeral number 1, God speaks to a Roman officer. It's interesting to me that he chose to speak to a Roman officer, because this was pretty quick after the crucifixion. And who crucified Jesus? Roman officers. Okay? So you think about that and you keep in mind that if God can speak to a Roman officer, he can speak to me. Keep that in mind, okay? Turn to someone and say, wake up. You guys are quiet today, and I can usually handle it, but I'm wondering if you're really with me or not. Hope you're with me. Okay, God speaks to a Roman officer. Acts 10, 1 through 7 says it this way. In Caesarea there lived a Roman army officer named Cornelius, who was a captain of the Italian regiment. He was a devout, God-fearing man, as everyone in his household was. He gave generously to the poor and prayed regularly to God. So even though he was a Roman officer, somehow he broke through the mold of the Roman officer and became a devout, God-fearing man. Some theologians have conjectured, and it's pure conjecture, that he was actually present at the crucifixion of Christ, and because of what he saw and heard, he became a believer in God. We don't know. All we know is what the scripture says, is that he was a devout, God-fearing man who gave generously to the poor. That's what we know about him. And he prayed regularly. One afternoon, about 3 o'clock, he had a vision in which he saw an angel of God coming toward him. Cornelius, the angel said. Cornelius stared at him in terror. What is it, sir? He asked the angel. And the angel replied, your prayers and gifts to the poor have been received by God as an offering. Now, I got to stop there for a second, because if an angel showed up and said, God has noticed you. Can you imagine how awe-inspiring that must have been? God has noticed you. He's noticed you. And he's received your gifts to the poor as if they were an offering to him directly. What did Jesus say? If you do unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. I love that. I love that the angel said, your gifts and prayers have been received by God as an offering. Now, send some men to Joppa and summon a man named Simon Peter. He is staying with Simon, a tanner who lives near the seashore. As soon as the angel was gone, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier, one of his personal attendants. He told them what had happened and sent them off to Joppa. So what was the mode of God's voice in this case? The mode was an angel. Took it off the top of my tree. And I don't know why, when I was taking it off this morning, I was like, why is it that I have never seen a male angel in the tree? Huh? I know, it never mentions that it was a female angel. In fact, Cornelius said, what is it, sir? And yet when we think of an angel, we think of soft and pretty and feminine, and we forget all about the warrior angels who took out swords and were so giant that they terrified the soldiers who were standing guard at the tomb, Jesus' tomb, right? But you get the idea. It was an angel who spoke to him. But here I want us to be very careful, because there's this whole theology right now with angels floating about. Angels appearing to celebrities and saying, your grandfather is at peace, please be at peace, blah, blah, blah. I don't think so. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be a cynic, but in the Bible, angels only ever appear to people to point them to God, not to their dead relatives. I'm just saying. They're messengers of God. They point people to God. That's the job of an angel. The job of an angel isn't to make you feel oosey-goosey. It's not. Now, there's no doubt in my mind Cornelius had this sense of awe and wonder and amazement that God noticed what he had done. Did he feel good about it? Absolutely. But did he go, ooh, I've seen an angel. I must be special. No. He said, I'm going to do whatever this angel told me to do. I got to find out what's up. angel was the mode, but don't get sidetracked by the mode, okay? I've never seen an angel. I will one day. I know that. I'm looking forward to that. But you know what? Our job is not to worship angels. Our job is to worship God. That's our honor, to worship God and to pay him homage, not angels. What was the angel's message? Point B. Number one, your prayers and gifts have been noticed and received by God. Your prayers and gifts have been noticed and received by God. Number two, summon Simon for further instruction. Go get someone who can give you a little bit more explanation of what's about to happen. And I didn't go into it because of time's sake, but then Simon Peter has a vision in which he is supposed to come back and meet with Cornelius. It's really cool. There's a lot of God's voice going on in this story, a whole lot. But what was the result of this angel's appearance? Point C, the result was Cornelius, his relatives, his close friends were saved, and they received the Holy Spirit. When God speaks, it's because he has salvation and spiritual growth in mind. That's why he speaks to us. Because he wants us to be saved and he wants us to grow spiritually. What's the next way God spoke that I'm going to talk about today? There's a lot in the Bible, even in the New Testament, of God speaking. But the one we're going to look at today, the number two, is God speaks to a Jewish leader who hated Jesus and the way. God speaks to a Jewish leader who hated Jesus and the way. Some of you probably have heard this story before. It's the story of Saul. Acts 9, 1 through 9 says this. Meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest. He requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way he found there. The way, last week we talked about the way, the truth, and the life. That's what they called Christians. They didn't call them Christians initially. They called them followers of the way. The way. Isn't that interesting? He wanted to bring them, both men and women. He was equal. Yeah. He wanted to bring both men and women back to Jerusalem in chains. As he was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I'm going to stop there. I love that line. That might be one of my favorite lines in Scripture. Why are you persecuting? This is Jesus talking to him. If you look in your Bible, it's written in red because it's actually a post-appearance from the resurrection of Jesus Christ himself. And he says, why are you persecuting me? That's what I love. He doesn't say, why are you harassing the people who love me? Why are you persecuting my followers? He says, why are you persecuting me? Do you see how closely Christ identifies with what we're going through? It was as if he was being persecuted himself. You see, that's why Jesus coming at Christmas time, that's what it changed everything. Jesus now completely and fully knows what you and I face every day because he faced it too. So when he appeared to Saul, he said, why are you persecuting me? He felt every bit of the persecution in himself. Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. And the voice replied, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city and you will be told what you must do. The men with Saul stood speechless, for they heard the sound of someone's voice, but saw no one. Saul picked himself up off the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he was blind. So his companions led him by the hand to Damascus. He remained there blind for 3 days and did not eat or drink. Yeah, that would probably take my appetite away too. If the one that I had been, I thought I was doing a good thing in persecuting the followers of the way, and now Jesus appeared to me and said, hey, what's up? And this light shone from heaven. Yeah. And in this case, we actually have an audible voice of God, right? We don't have batteries in here, so don't just relax. Some of you were like, oh no, we heard an audible voice of God. We used to have fun with this when I was in theological school, seminary. We used to hide up on the second floor, like in our rooms or whatever. And as people would walk through the courtyard, we would open our window and we would say, John, go to Africa. They'd be like, I heard a voice. Oh no. We used to do it all. It was like the common thing to do. It became so commonplace. Everybody knew. It was like, oh yeah, sure, whatever. Saul heard an actual voice. We know that it was an audible voice because the men who were with him heard the same voice. It was an audible voice. I would say there's been very few times in my life where I've heard an audible voice, and it's never been like through a megaphone. It's only been a quiet whisper in my ear, really. I've never heard a loud voice of God. But Saul did. So the mode was an audible voice. What was the message? Number one, why are you persecuting me? What a question, huh? Can you imagine? How do you answer that? Why are you persecuting me? Number two, the message was, I am Jesus. Number three, go into the city and wait for further instruction. I find it interesting in both cases of Cornelius and of Saul that there was a waiting period involved. There was a period where they heard the voice of God, they knew it was the voice of God, but there was a waiting period where they had to get some further instruction from other believers. And some of us, we hear what we think is a voice and we're ready to jump off the, you know, Empire State Building with this information. And God sometimes is saying, wait for further instruction. I'm giving you a little bit of information right now, but now I want you to wait for some further instruction. In both cases, they had to do that. What was the result? Wow. There was a personal encounter with Jesus. That's the first thing I see as a result. There was a personal encounter with Jesus that led to salvation and spiritual growth of countless people. We still read the writings of Paul. His name was changed after his encounter with Jesus. We still read the writings of Paul today, and they lead people to salvation. That was the result of God's voice being spoken to him. Number two, much of the New Testament was written by him. Wow. I think we forget the impact of the spoken, the voice of God, the written voice of God, the messenger bringing us a message from the voice of God. Whatever the case, the result is always the same. Salvation and spiritual growth. Point number three, the mode in this case was a little different. God speaks to church leaders in this case. Acts 13, 1 through 3 says it this way. Among the prophets and teachers of the church at Antioch of Syria were Barnabas, Simeon, called the black man. Now, what? Really? Was there another Simeon who was the white man? I don't know why that's put in there, but it is. Simeon called the black man. Maybe that's just the way he was known in the area. Simeon, the black man, you know, as opposed to Simeon, the yellow guy. I don't know. Lucius from Cyrene, Manaen, the childhood companion of King Herod Antipas. I love that information right there. And Saul. One day, as these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, and we don't know how he said it, the Holy Spirit said, dedicate Barnabas and Saul for the special work to which I have called them. So after more fasting and prayer, the men laid their hands on them and sent them on their way. So the mode in this case was prayer, fasting, and listening. Prayer, fasting, and listening. Now, some of you may be familiar with fasting. Some of you may not be familiar with fasting. To me, it's really, it's not complicated. I think we've reduced it to a spiritual duty, and I don't like that. That's not what it's about. It's not, I'm going to fast so I look holy. I'm going to fast so I get points with God. I'm going to fast so that everybody will think I'm great. No, that's not the purpose of fasting. There's really two purposes for fasting. And these aren't in your notes, but if you want to put them in, you can put them in. Number one, I believe it's to show your body that your spirit is boss. To show your body that your spirit is boss. Now, I'm not talking about a weight loss plan. I'm also weary of Christians who use fasting as a weight loss plan. That is not what we're talking about here. If you need to lose weight, like many of us, then there are many good weight loss plans out there, but don't make it spiritual by calling it a fast. Don't confuse the two. Now, if you want to eat right as a sign of dedication to the Lord and you want to lose weight that way, absolutely go for it. But let's not muddy the waters, okay? Fasting is showing your body that your spirit is in control. So when you want to eat certain foods or when you want to eat at all and you tell your body no, what you're doing is saying, body, my spirit is calling the shots here, not you. So that's one of the purposes of fasting. The other purpose of fasting, I believe, is to make space in your life for God. To make space in your life for God. I'm really excited. I'll do this first. It's like this. Everybody has 24 hours in their day. Many of us beg for more. If we had more, we would just fill up more. I don't know why we want more. But we have 24 hours. I almost decorated this box up and made it pretty. And I was like, no, most of our days are more like this cardboard box than like a pretty box. Aren't they? You might have little pretty ones now and again, but for the most part, they're just a cardboard box. And in that cardboard box, we put some work, because most of us work, whether it's inside the home or outside the home or both, we work. And so that starts to fill up our day. And then, of course, we have to sleep, right? Some of us sleep more than others. Some of us need to sleep more than others. That's okay. You know, but we have a certain amount of time that we sleep. And then we might eat or drink, food, drink. So that starts to fill up our day. There's another food and drink. Let me see, where's the other one? I think there's one more. There it is. More food and drink. Three meals, right? Supposed to have five or something, right? I'm lucky if I have time for three. So there we are. We're getting full. You can see my day is starting to get pretty full. So I better put some devotions in. I want to spend time with the Lord, reading His Word, hearing His voice. So I throw that in, and I'm getting more and more full. So then the rest of these I have written on here. Oh, exercise. We like to exercise, so we're going to put exercise in there. Got to fill up, especially New Year's, right? That's one of your resolutions, to exercise. The rest of these I just put entertain on. Now, maybe you're thinking I don't have that much entertainment in my life. Sometimes entertainment disguises itself in different formats. We work, and it entertains us. I'm not saying that work is bad. I'm saying just be careful. Because sometimes we start to get all of our emotional energy and all of our emotional needs met at work. And so we call it work, but it's really entertainment. Now, some of you, I'm sure, work more than others, you know, have to for different reasons. Sometimes entertainment is really entertainment. going to a football game, watching TV, going to movies, playing video games, playing online Scrabble. There's a lot of different ways to read just for entertainment purposes. There's a lot of different ways we entertain ourselves. And here we are, and our day is full. There's no more room for anything else. We've packed it, and it's done. Fasting is getting rid of maybe that and maybe that. And then you have space in here. And where you have space, you can put some of this in there. That's what fasting is. It's making space for God. It's telling your body your spirit is in control, and it's making space for God. I'm so excited because we're going to start a 21-day fast as a church, January 10th. And I'm going to give you a guide that looks like this, so that it's going to tell you every day. It's going to have, well, it has some information about what fasting is and why fast. It's good stuff. And then it has how to use this journal. And then day one, January 10th, and this is just a sample because I'm going to meet with a couple people today and we're going to work this out. The fasting item says meat and video games. What we're going to do is we're going to fast one food item every day and one entertainment item every day. Now, if you don't play video games, you're not even going to feel it that day, right? If you do play video games, you're going to feel it that day. The whole purpose of taking out video games, though, is to make space for God. Through worship music, through the word, through just sitting and talking to him, through listening to him. We're calling it the 21-day guide of praying, fasting, and listening. And what I'm excited about is for the first time in the history of Oak River Church, to my knowledge, the youth, the kids, and the adults are all doing this together. Pastor Shelby has written her own curriculum to go with our message series, Wide Awake. Karen has written some material to go along with it. And we're all going to be using the same guide. Do you know how much power there is in unity when we all get on the same page? And listen, I believe fasting also brings power from God, a unique power from God, but I don't want to make it about this time. If God wants to pour out power, then of course I welcome it, but sometimes I think we use fasting as a little carrot for God almost. Here, I'm fasting, so give me what I want. No, let's not make it about that. Let's make it about praying, fasting, and listening. Just listening to what he has to say. Just listening. In that final mode, it was interesting because it was prayer, fasting, and listening. But in the message, it was dedicate Barnabas and Saul for special work. Dedicate Barnabas and Saul for special work. When you listen to God, he may give you an assignment. He may not. He may just say, I love you. I love spending time with you. You're special to me. You're precious to me. I hold you in my arms and I just am in awe. I don't know what he's going to say to you. But he may give you an assignment, like in this case. Point number C, though, look at the result. Once again, the result was more prayer, fasting, and listening. And number two, the salvation and spiritual growth of many. The salvation and spiritual growth of many. I believe that as we enter into this fast starting on the 10th, and we're going to have the guides for you next Sunday, because next Sunday's the 9th, so you'll have a little time. As we enter into this fast as a congregation, youth, kids, and adults, I believe God will speak to us as we make space for him in our day, as we get some stuff out of the way that doesn't belong. And every day it's going to be different. So like day two might be sweets and television. Day three might be Facebook and I don't know, all fruits and veggies today. We're going to mix it up so that every day, hopefully, it affects you in a different way. Sometimes we get into the fast and we go, okay, no meats for the next 21 days. That's my fast. No meats for the... And then we get so wrapped up into what we're going to do in place of meat. Hello? I've been there. Have you been there? We get so wrapped up in how we can replace that meat, we totally do not make space for God. We just get wrapped up in the method. That's not the point here. What's the conclusion? I love that God speaks. God is a speaking God. He is not a silent, distant, non-caring God. He is a speaking God. He speaks preparation, encouragement, revelation, and direction. He speaks all of those things. For the purpose of, why does he speak? For salvation and spiritual growth. So if as you're listening to God in your fast, you hear him say, go in debt for a $100,000 car, you probably want to see if that was really him. Because does that have anything to do with spiritual growth or salvation? You know, it's easy. Hey, believe me, it's easy to get confused. There are times when I've called my sister, or I've called Rhonda, or I've called my parents, and I'm like, I think God might be leading me to do this, but I don't know. Does that make sense? Do you think I'm hearing right? Because sometimes it's hard to discern. Right away, you can know that if he tells you to do anything that doesn't line up with this word, then it's not God. Just rule that out. But also, if there's anything that you think he's saying to you in your heart, really, the vast majority of the times that God has ever spoken to me, it's been through his word. The vast majority. Very few times I've heard little whisperings in my heart or in my ear, but for the most part, it's through his word. So don't worry about the method. Well, God didn't say anything to me. Sure he did. If you read his word at all, he said something to you. But don't get caught up in that. I just believe that God has great plans for Oak River Church as we go into 2011. I do. And I believe what Dave Walker told us a couple of months ago, I think now, that this is a year of new beginnings for Oak River Church. I absolutely believe that. So what do we want to do to get ready for those new beginnings? Do we want to drum everything up? No. I want to make space in my life for God. That's what I want to do. Because I want to hear his voice and follow him. He has the perfect plan. He has the perfect method, and he has perfect love for every one of us. So he knows how to speak to us in a way that will encourage us and direct us and prepare us for whatever new beginnings he has for us in the year of 2011. Amen? Let's pray. Thank you, God, for the fact that you still speak to us, that you love us so much, that you want to speak to us. I just thank you that you want us to make space in our lives for you, that you long for us to. And so I pray that as we're getting ready to go into this 21 days of praying and fasting and listening, that you will help us to keep our motives pure. Help us to make it about you, to keep our gaze fixed on you, Lord. And I pray that you would help the elders and the ministers and me to know how to lead effectively, God, and help us to set the example, Lord, and how this should be done. And I pray that you would just speak into our hearts, Lord, whatever it is you want to say. Whatever it is you want to say, we want to make space for you. Amen.